Okay, we're live now. Okay, so at the first line on top, it says click here. Do you see that right on top? It says hello. Do you see where it says hello? Maybe. Do you see where it says hello? Okay, right on the line below that, it says 5 p.m. Click on the link to connect into 5540 Studio here. Okay. Click on that. Okay, that takes you directly into the studio. Alright? Now, when you, you see where it says direct connect? There's a pink thing that says direct connect on the left side. Okay? Yeah, go on there. Click on that. Hello, and welcome to Sticky Talks today, where we're having a lot of fun with technical issues. And we are going to talk about the wrong place at the wrong time. We're hoping that we are in the right place and in the right time. My name is Sticky Feldenstein, and today, if our technical issues are resolved, which I'm sure they will be, we're going to be talking to David and Julie, who are going to discuss an amazing book that just got a great deal that we're dying to hear about, called Wrong Place, Wrong Time. And let me assure everybody, you are at the right place, at the right time, right here. Thank you and welcome to Sticky Talk. My name is Sticky Feldenstein. And what I'm going to do for you, so that you don't go anywhere, I'm going to put on some music from our official band called Newborn, who just came up with a new EP. And they did an introduction to the show. So I'm going to play that for a few minutes because I see David in the studio. What an amazing miracle. This is really great. So let me open up the microphone. Hi, David. Welcome to Sticky Talk. So let me tell you a little bit about it. The Wrong Place, Wrong Time is a true story. It's a true story of David's visit to Marbella, which is in Spain. That after a few parties and other things in between, he came across a hotel that was on fire. And in his state of partying and drinking, he decided to save a couple of lives. But in the process of doing that, he was arrested arson and manslaughter. And so what happened after that is what the book is all about. And that's where the story comes in. So we're going to open up the microphone again to David and see if we can get him. David, are you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely can hear you. So if you get disconnected for any... Yes, so if you get disconnected for any reason, just go ahead and plug right in again. You're doing good right now. Hi, Julie.
Okay. Hi, Julie.
You are both Cancer Campaign ambassadors for cancer research in the UK.
We are, yeah.
In memory of your respective fathers. So your father obviously suffered from cancer.
Well,
and also
yeah.
Julie's father?
Yeah, her father died of cancer. About 6 years ago, and my father died of cancer 10 years ago. So Julie does so much for charity, for meningitis, for cancer research, and she's got another group called the Circle of Eight, and they do so much for charity. And since I've met with Julie, I've become an ambassador for cancer research. So
what does an ambassador for cancer research really mean?
And well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to propose you, as Julie knows more about it than me, she will explain what it means about being an ambassador for cancer research. Okay, so here's Julie.
Okay, so being a Cancer Campaign's ambassador means that you help to influence policy. Basically, we try and influence the government, the MPs, to change policy. So we I worked on the campaign for standardised cigarette packaging to try and reduce the uptake of cigarettes with children taking it up because the packages looked all fancy, and that came in earlier this year. And our current campaign is about junk food advertising to try and reduce childhood obesity. So that's what we do. We campaign to our MPs and lobby them in Parliament.
Oh, okay. So you have your work cut out for you. That sounds like a big job.
It is. Well, there's an ambassador for every constituency, and there's 620 constituencies in the UK. So they try to have an ambassador for each constituency.
Wow, that's wonderful, because we definitely need that, and we definitely do not need cigarettes. From what I understand, in a lot of states here, it's become illegal to smoke. It's not illegal to sell cigarettes, but even people in private properties, it's illegal for them to smoke in their backyard.
That's incredible.
I thought that was really funny, because in the one hand, it's legal to have cigarettes, but if it's illegal to smoke anywhere, what are you going to do with the cigarettes?
How do they even police that, though? How are they going to police people smoking in their back gardens?
Oh, trust me, everybody's going to point a finger at them.
Well, anything they can do to reduce it. Obviously, it's the number one risk of cancer and then obesity is the second highest risk. So that's why we're focusing on that now.
Can I just add something?
Yeah.
Sorry, Tiffany, we're just showing them the headphones at the moment. Did you tell me that they're going to make it illegal to smoke in the backyard?
There's actually a lot of communities in California. There's one community called Calabasas where all the it's really huge estate. I think the cheapest estate in that place is like maybe close to $10 million. And it's illegal to smoke within that gated community. So they managed to do that. And then there's another gated community called Hidden Hills where they managed to make it illegal to smoke within that little community, which is, it's a big one. It's as big as Manhattan, which is 24 square acres. They made it illegal to smoke in apartment buildings because they say
that it's going legal,
to...
They still make guns legal. How bizarre. How bizarre is that?
Well, the guns is a matter of the Second Amendment. The smoking cigarettes is not in the Constitution, so it's much easier to... it's much easier to pass laws about cigarettes, anything that isn't the Constitution. Changing the Constitution is a whole big megillah that may take years to do. Go ahead, David.
Oh, no, I was going to say, hopefully, I'm sure Julie explained everything about being an ambassador for Cancer Research UK. Did you see that picture? Do you know the picture I sent you with them? The Hollywood actor, Ray Winston. Did you see that?
Yeah. We're going to post all those pictures right here on the slideshow. When anybody that's going to be listening on the internet is going to see those pictures. And also we're going to put a few links that I'm going to tell you about soon.
Okay, because that picture with was that a cancer research charity event we did?
Awesome, yes. And so before we solve the entire global problem, we want to talk a little bit about your your book, Wrong Place, Wrong Time. I don't know if you remember, but I just listened to the last interview you did because David was here before talking about this book, and I predicted that this was going to happen. And so why don't you tell us what actually happened and how Julie had, you know, how you guys work together on that with the book. What is happening right now? You have some good news for us to tell us about.
We do. Well, Julie is my editor. Mm-hmm. What else would you do for me? My agent. She does all my press releases. we're going to a book indie book show in up north, as they say, in the UK at the weekend. So we'd both be there, and Julie does all the press releases. She co-authors some other books which I've written, which I'll go through with you shortly. But Wrong Place, Wrong Time. When I went to the book fair in London in April this year, I had a press release, and for three days I just walked, must have done 70 miles, walked around and just promoting myself, gave every publishing stand, including Amazon, the press release. And about a month later, a publishing company contacted me and asked for three of the chapters of the book. And so I sent them that. And this is all because of from the press release that Julie did. And then I sent them that. Then about a month later, they sent me another email to say, the editors love the three chapters. Can you email the full manuscript? So I did that.
Wow.
And they loved that. And they sent me a contract, which we both signed. And we did some editing and we did some amendments to the book. And it's gone back and it's in production to be in bookstores in the UK and fingers crossed worldwide, depending if it flies off the shelf by September this year.
Wonderful. So that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. And you said that they did modify a few things. Did they change, major change on the content or just editorial?
Julie and I did. We did it.
You did it.
We've made it. The first 5-6 chapters I love, but I was never really 100% happy with them. So we sort of sat down and re-edited it. We've added, taken away.
We've mostly added.
Yeah, we have.
Mostly added. He's enhanced it and improved it and so it's boosted it up. So it'll be a completely new edition that will go to print. And so, it could be a totally new version and re-edited and a souped-up version.
Yeah. In paperback and hardback at your local bookstore very soon. So, no, we're really excited. It's a dream come true for a self-published author, to be honest, as you know.
Well, yeah, but to me, it's not a surprise because I already told you that this is going to happen. So when I listened to it before this interview, I listened to our first interview, which I'm also going to put a link, and I suggest that anybody listening to this should listen to the first one. I said, David, when I talk to you again, I'll be keeping an eye on you because I know this is going places.
it's going in the right place.
The right direction, yeah. Not into burning bush or burning buildings.
No, I've done that. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. So this is a really great story, and this is a great way to continue. It's also very motivational for all my listeners, who a lot of them are writers as well as readers that are struggling and writing their book and wondering where they're going to get it published. And basically, David, what you just showed them is if you work on it and you have someone like Julie, I guess we're going to have to borrow Julie from you for all my other writers.
as long as I can have her back, that's fine. the thing is, first of all, if you want to write a book and get a book out there, put it on Amazon straight away. Self-publish it, because publishing companies do check those. But a lot of the books, like Gone Girl or even 50 Shades, for example, they all started, The Martians, The Martians, the one with, I've forgotten his name now. Oh, who starred in it? The spaceman.
I don't know.
Jason Bourne. What's his name? Matt Damon. So all these books.
I know which one you saw. I was just talking about that one this morning. The guy that loses his identity.
Yeah. So all these books started as self-published. Okay. If you've got a book out and you're going to do number one, you need an agent if you want a publishing company. They will not. Publishing companies will not have an email from the author. They won't. They get hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts every day. It's best to get a book out there, get it on Amazon, get the reviews, get it highly ranked. And if it's your first book, don't put it on for $5.99 or $6.99. No one's going to buy it. Do it for 99 cents or $1.99 maximum, because you're unknown. And you'll see, and you market yourself. You've got to have your social media platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter has just been amazing for me, Facebook, have your website, have a blog. You just really have to promote yourself. It takes time, but it's all free, all these platforms.
Right. I think I met you on Twitter also as well.
Pardon? Sorry?
I think I met you on Twitter. I became aware of what you were doing. It was
absolutely
also on Twitter.
Absolutely. We did meet on Twitter. And this is where, apart from Wrong Place, Wrong Time, and my other book, 5 Weeks, which is another true story, which you would love because it's based in America, Pennsylvania, actually.
Oh, okay. We'll chat about that one next time.
You'll like that one. But we've done this brand called My Way, and the first three books of them, which is My Way 1, My Way 2, and My Way 3, are all about book marketing for the self-published author.
Oh, wonderful.
You see, and they're actually currently, the first book is currently in the top 30 in categories in advertising and web marketing in America, the UK, and Australia on Amazon at this moment. But we've also written, and this is where Julie has co-authored as well. She's done all the work on this one, to be honest with you. We've also, well, why don't you discuss? Why don't, it's your baby. Okay, we've actually written My Way 4, which promotes and features science fiction authors.
Mm-hmm.
My Way 5, about life, which is 21 authors actually telling us their experiences. This book actually came out to coincide with Mental Awareness Week. And so people with depression, anxiety and so forth, or other...
Mental anxiety. Bipolar disorder and people that have dealt with bereavement, all talking about their life issues. And it was talking about how they got into writing, how writing has become cathartic for them. It was great. It's great to have so many contributors, a lot of them actually from the States too.
Yeah.
And then My Way 6 was just published recently as actually erotic authors, and we called that one My Way 6 Sex for the Beach. So the mm-hmm. next one is going to be Seventh Heaven, and that will feature authors of anyone who writes about religious issues.
About religious experiences?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. My Way 8, which is actually...
That one's going to be out to coincide with Eating Disorder Awareness Week in February next year. And that will be all people who have posts from eating disorders, so writers and bloggers about that. My Way 9 will be My Way 999 Crime, so true crime story. And then
we change that for America.
We will, because it's
My Way 911.
1-1-9-1-1, yeah.
911, exactly, yeah. Actually. Excellent. Two books.
Two books. And then My Way 10 will be back, By Way Me Again. We'll be back to David and how things have moved on since he did number one.
Since the Wrong Time, Wrong Place, or since My Way 1?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, there's 8 books out, but I think we need to do that. What we're going to do, this is part of the press news. My Way 9, 999, will just feature UK authors.
Oh, okay.
And My Way Crime 911 is going to feature American authors. So that's 2 books.
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds like you've been writing like crazy. That's a lot of books.
It is a lot of books, but that's exclusive. So if anyone is listening and they're an author and they write about religious events,
experiences,
heaven, hell, Jesus, God, even Jewish, any religion.
Any religion.
Well, do I qualify if it isn't religion and I had a near-death experience?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, heaven.
Because it wasn't about religion, but it's spiritual.
It's still spiritual, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
everything's spiritual.
Well, you hooked you in. Well, I will send
your
entity. And this will be out, I would say...
I think we're looking September, October time.
September, October, maybe Christmas. No, September. So I will send you an email, and Q&A. You send us a chapter and so forth. But if you have any listeners, which I know you have many thousands of listeners, but any listeners who are authors and who write about religion or non-fiction crime, no, tell a lie, fiction crime, and eating disorders and so forth, if they can contact
I have one of the things that I do is I work with people who want to write their story but don't have the know-how of putting it together on paper. As a matter of fact, one of my people that I work with just finished writing her book. I was going to ask Julie if she would want to take a look at it and do the first, we have the rough draft, And we've been working with an editor in Canada, but we're looking for another one to be able to look through the books that the people write. So this one's ready.
Okay, I'd love to have a look.
So we'll definitely send you the draft. I'm so excited. Everything is like a circle.
No, absolutely. And you guys... The thing is, Julie gets an awful lot of requests to check out books and so forth. I mean, she's busy. She's worked really hard. Mm-hmm. A mother of four, believe it or not. A mother of four. A mother, stepmother of four, step-grandma.
So how long have you guys been together?
Oh, we just met tonight, so.
Really? Wow, you guys work fast. Show me how that's done. Maybe we can do it here in the United States, too.
it's quite bizarre how, well, I'm writing another book, actually.
How I Met Julie?
I'm writing.
Pretty much.
What's
that? This is a bit called How I Met Julie.
Oh, How I Met Julie, yeah. Exactly. I'm only about 3,000 words in, but it's about how Julie and I met and how we met was, I mean, I've known Julie for many, many, many years, but how we actually got together, we did a charity
Strictly Come Dancing. Strictly Come Dancing competition for a hospice in North mm-hmm. London. And we did a salsa dance together and then ended up editing his books.
And a lot more, yeah. And that's how we've been together for about a year and a half now.
Oh, okay, so I got it. So if somebody wants to meet someone, write a book, and then go dancing, and then have that person you dance with edit it for you.
That's it, that's right? it. That's all you need
that's
to do.
It. Yeah. Now we know how romance is made.
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a new chapter in our lives.
Wonderful, wonderful. So since everybody wants to hear about The Wrong Place, Wrong Time, tell me why they should buy the book.
Why should they buy the book? Because
first of all, it's a true story. And I love fiction. Fiction is great. But honestly, this is a true story and it reads like fiction. It doesn't read like a true story. It's almost like unbelievably believable. As the Russians would say, unbelievable. And it is the way the events unfolded and the way the things fell into place one after the other. It's a really, really, sometimes they say that life is really stranger, truth is stranger than fiction. And it is, because the way this book unfolded, the truth of how it unfolded is if you try to write a fiction book, you wouldn't even be able to have it so beautifully unfold and dramatically and pain and everything in between and romance and drugs and drinking and everything in between. So if you want to read a great book, then yeah, people like to read great books and curl up in bed at night and read a book. That's a great book to read. The book starts off in the UK and kind of gives you a little bit of a background on what David was doing when things somehow went wrong. And because they went wrong, he picked himself up and he went to Spain. And then what happened in Spain, there's this saying that I think it's called Murphy's Law, that anything that could possibly go wrong will go wrong. I don't really buy into that so much, because I do believe that we contribute, and this book really shows that anything that can go wrong went wrong, but not without David's contribution to the cause. And so it is a thriller. It's heartbreaking, and it's fun, and at the end it's a triumph too. It's a book that teaches you about overcoming.
David doesn't like to sort of big himself up on this, so I'll do it for him. So I traditionally read historical fiction. That's my genre. I love Philippa Gregory and Hilary Mantel. And if it's got a Plantagenet or a Tudor in it, then I'm right there. So I didn't really read anything like this, but I couldn't put the book down. I genuinely couldn't put the book down. And all the reviews that David gets are, or how people start the book and they plan to just pick it up and read it a bit before they go to bed, and they end up just reading it the whole way through, to spend the whole night, because it's so atmospheric and you're so with him on his journey, and you literally can't put it down. And it has got everything in it. It's got, you know, you're right there every step of the way, and you feel for him, and then you want to shout him because he's been so stupid, but then you...
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you, Julie. You're absolutely right, because I read at night, I went to bed, and I read up until the part where you get the bail to get out of jail. And I said, great, you know, tomorrow night I'll read a little bit more. I had 3 days, I think, to read. But I got up in the morning, and I didn't go anywhere, and I just kept on reading and reading, because it's really better than, I mean, if you try to write a fiction, you couldn't even write it. You couldn't even make up a story like that if you wanted to. It's just not... Nobody would believe that it's true, really.
Well, so, David, some is it people really don't true? Believe it.
Of course it's right. True, yes. Absolutely. Julie?
Yeah, there's a lot of the reviews say, this is just nonsense. This can't possibly be true. And I know it's true because he still has nightmares about some of this stuff. So I know every word of it is true.
I totally understand. You can't. I mean, I was in a Mexican prison, and there's no way that I can make up what it felt like or what it was like. There's just no way you can make up stories like that. But they can believe what they want. It really doesn't matter. It's your story. That's all that really
matters. Yeah, and most of the reviews are very positive, and they believe, and they, you know, and they want to know more.
Well, they want to know more. I mean, at the moment, there's over 300 five-star reviews. In fact, just on my kitchen table, just a couple of feet away, I've got some actual newspaper clippings from the event in the national newspaper. So I'm actually going back to the British Library to do more research, to get more newspaper clippings of what happened, with my name in and me getting arrested and so forth. And then I will be doing a sequel a sequel with all these newspaper clippings in.
The kind of what happened next.
Because lots of people want to know what happened next, you know?
Yeah, I want to know. Yeah, I think anybody that would read the book would say, okay, so what happened now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. And one of the things David said to me when I first knew him was, I will never go back to Spain. And actually, we went back to Spain just very recently.
We did.
And it was his first. Yeah, it was his first time going back after the event. And I must say, going through customs, he was a little bit nervous. But
yeah,
we
that's courageous. That was courageous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was more courageous was that he went with myself and my old and my 13-year-old daughters and two of my 13-year-old daughters' friends as well. So that was also very
cool. Wow.
We went with five girls. But we got through, we were fine. We actually got out of the country again.
Wow. That took a lot, because what if they would have just put handcuffs on you right then and there?
Exactly. That would not have been a nice holiday.
It would have really ruined the holiday. Yeah. I think my daughters wouldn't have been impressed.
I saw, no.
not very impressive. No, but that's good. It's courageous, and it's good, and it's another book on the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple in the pipeline. So, well, we've got more with the My Way brand. So for the next, I'm with Wrong Place, Wrong Time, become going out into bookstores, and what my schedule will be. It's going to be a very busy latter part of the year and next year,
it is.
Isn't it? So, be good to chat with you next year and give you an update of how it's going.
Oh yeah, we're going to be chatting a lot if we don't get disconnected every second. It would be
exactly. You can never trust the internet.
Well, I have to say I love the internet, but sometimes it can get a little bit of annoying.
Hmm.
So
we've got some quite freaky hot weather over here. It could be affecting, I don't know, whether there's a storm coming, maybe, I don't know. But we've had the hottest day of the year, and we don't get hot days over here. So everything goes to pieces. The train lines melt, and people melt, and nothing works, and it's pathetic.
It is. Do you know what? Today, as it was the hottest day of the year, what was trending on Twitter in the UK? Heat wave. The first hot day, everyone is a heat wave, and be careful and make sure you bring bottles of water on the tube and the metro. Oh dear, it's just it's crazy.
We actually also have very hot, humid. As we started speaking, the shower started coming down, and I don't know what it's like outside, but it just stopped. And I'm hoping that it kind of relieved a little bit of the humidity. So I know exactly what you're going through.
It's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to get a shower tomorrow.
Tomorrow? You might get it today if it's really humid. You never know.
Well, no, exactly.
Could be.
Exactly. Whatever comes,
I don't know.
Comes.
Yeah, for me, every time I arrive to London, I'm at the airport, and I look, and if it's not raining, by the time I come out, it's raining. Never happened to me any other way. So I already know. London, rain. No, it's always raining when I come.
Oh, shame. You have to come a different time.
I'll try to come next time when it doesn't rain.
Okay.
I'll check the forecast. So do you want to read something from the book before we run out of time? Because we're running out of time. And if you want to do a reading, this would be a good time.
From the book.
Read something from the book. That is, I will do, if you like to bear with me, I will, as I've said, we have changed it, but mm-hmm. just bear with me for a second, because you've got me
Blow, it was a cold day in February. No, don't go to the beginning.
No,
middle.
We've actually changed all that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bear with me and I will get something for you. Not that one. That's not it. Hold on, bear with me.
Okay, while you're looking for it, then I can have a chat with Julie.
Okay, go ahead.
What is it that really, have you done editing before you met David? Was that part of something that you love to do?
I actually always wanted to be a writer, and I do content writing, and PR is my day job. So I have writers, have content writers that write for me, and I did their work for that goes on to the web for the organization that I work for. So I kind of, it was a natural progression, I think. And I do love it. I love being involved. I've always wanted to be involved in the literary world. And having my own, I've started writing. You know, always through my life, whenever I've had big events and things that have maybe got me down, I've always turned to writing as a means of trying to maybe express myself and get my worries down onto paper. Sometimes if there was no one to talk to, I thought if I get it down onto paper, I think a lot of people find that, certainly when we were writing My Way 5 about life and people that deal with the bipolar and anxiety and depression and everything, that they found writing to be an amazing outlet for them.
Yeah, if you have an inclination and if you love to read, then I think it would be. There's nobody
I'm a vociferous reader as well. I'd love to read. Always have since I was a child. So
right.
I think one goes with the other, doesn't it?
Yes. And so it makes sense that when you have something on your heart or on your mind that's laying there, you definitely will write it out. And I think it's a natural thing. I did the same thing. I loved it. For me, it was natural.
Okay, I've got a chapter.
Go ahead.
There's a few swear words in there. Do you want me to cut those out? I mean,
No, because I'm going to edit this anyway, so just go for it.
Go for it? Okay. Would you want me to read it or Julie to read it?
Whichever, you guys decide.
Heads or tails?
No, I don't mind. If you want me to read it, I don't mind.
Do you want me to read a bit and then I can?
Okay, I'm going to read. This is called Midnight Express. Slumped in the back of the police car with my hands clamped together on my lap, I was emotionally and physically exhausted. As the car sped along the empty road, my head rocked rhythmically back and forth against the window, the blinding morning sun flashing in my eyes through the trees. My immediate thoughts were of my family. How the hell would I explain this to my parents? Where would I start? Sorry, Mum and Dad, I've been arrested for stealing, but I did save 2 lives. Is that okay? Do you forgive me? Reality slapped me across the face as the policeman in the passenger seat turned his head and looked at me, his narrow eyes glaring at me like I was dirt. What an ugly fucker he was. He laughed, an evil, twisted, condescending chuckle. We go police station and sort you out, motherfucker. He turned away, still laughing, and continued his conversation with his sidekick. Their Spanish banter washed over me and I stared at the back of his head, his black hair unevenly cut just above his shirt collar, and his thick, unshaven neck. As much as I tried to contain it, tears welled up in my eyes. I was petrified. I wanted to be home again with Mum, Dad, brothers, and Pink, not on the way to a police station, not again. The handcuffs dug into me with every jolt and bump of the car as we drove over potholes in the road. Shifting in the seat, I felt something uncomfortable digging into my thigh, and instantly I froze, realizing what it was. I still had a credit card in my front pocket.
Fuck, I panicked, not knowing what the hell to do, but keeping an eye on the men in front, I managed to ease the card from my pocket. I quickly shoved it between my knees with my mind racing. Should I give it to them? Own up? And if I did, what would they do? If they were going to slap me around a bit more, I'd have taken that, but that was the least of my worries. The last thing I wanted was to be even more trouble than I was already in. Get out of this one, Dave, you idiot. My eyes darted frantically around the car, searching for somewhere, anywhere, to put it. There were no floor mats to hide it under, the window had no handles, and there were no pockets inside of the doors. It was hopeless. I buried my head in my hands, with my nose inches from my knees, my tears flowing freely now and splashing onto my jeans. That's when I saw it, an air vent just below the seat and about 3 inches above the floor behind my legs. The adrenaline kicked in immediately. I crouched above the floor. I crouched forward a bit, hoping to God they thought I was doing nothing more than crying. And spreading my legs, I fumbled around the vent. There were 3 thin slots, and I managed to push the card into the middle one. Sitting back, I breathed deeply, with my heart thumping wildly in my chest.
The tires squeaked as the car came to a halt at the station. The driver got out, marched around the car to my side, and opened the door. He grabbed my arm, gestured for me to get out, and with his fingers squeezing into my flesh, he dragged me across the forecourt and into the building. We made our way down the narrow hallway. I looked up. The arched ceiling made me feel uncomfortable and claustrophobic, and the small leaded windows spaced out every 3 feet or so did little to brighten the place. My every step was in sync with the square red terracotta tiles below the tread of my trainers. There were 13 tiles and 13 steps. I counted each one of them, until suddenly there was a holler behind us. The grip on my arm tightened, and we stopped at tile 14, turning round simultaneously.
You fucking Englishman, you motherfucker, you are a son of a prostitute, you motherfucker. My heart sank as I saw the other policeman standing in the doorway, his arm held up with the card in between his thumb and finger. So much for my hiding place. He slammed shut the door and ran towards us, shouting and swearing. His face was overtanned and he had deep engraved lines on his forehead. He wasn't tall, just an inch or so shorter than me, but he was stocky with big arms and big hands. Taking hold of my other arm, they both escorted me to the end of the hallway with my handcuffs rigid in front of me. I was still counting and there were 36 steps and 36 tiles before we reached a shabby gunmetal door. The policeman to my right fumbled with a bunch of keys attached to his trouser belt, and swearing and cursing, he attempted but failed miserably to open it. Eventually, on the third attempt, he succeeded, and they led me down another dark corridor, their pace quickening with each and every step. The natural light was fading fast behind me as we turned right, went down 3 flights of stairs, and came to a basement. Another door was opened, and the stench from the room hit me with a vengeance, the smell of stale sweat, urine, and shit in that order. There was no natural light, just two fluorescent tubes hanging above my cable, but hanging above me by a cable. Flies buzzed all around, bouncing off the lights in a state of frenzy. Many were dead inside, their black bodies sucking away the light. Men with angry, dirty faces and wide, bloodshot eyes stretched their arms through the bars of the cells, trying to touch me and grab me as we passed them. They were like wild animals, shouting and screaming in a language I didn't understand. The policemen thrust their truncheons against the bars, wiping out and hitting arms that were in their way. I was terrified. I felt sick. The noise vibrating off the cold grey concrete walls as they continued to shout was horrendous.
We came to a double cell back of the room. They told me to stand still, and I did. I froze. One policeman unlocked the cell and opened the door, while the other crouched down to untie and remove my shoelaces. My handcuffs were released, and they shoved me into the cell, where I landed face down on a cold, wet concrete floor. The cell door slammed shut, and the key turned and locked as I lay motionless on the floor. As their footsteps faded, I continued to lay face down with my eyes closed, trying desperately to contain my emotions. I could feel the damp of the floor seeping through my shirt, and the pungent smell of days gone by, months-old urine, flooded my nostrils. I buried my nose deep into my arm as the screaming shouting continued around me. I didn't want to be there. Please let me open my eyes and be somewhere else. Please. But the noise wouldn't go away. I was there and it was real. I was living a true nightmare. Pulling myself together, I lifted my head, looked straight ahead, and unfolding my arms with my palms on the floor, I forced myself up and struggled to my feet. There was a shadow of a man before me to my right, and before I had time to get myself up, I felt his boot in my ribcage. I buckled over, shouting out in pain, and as his shadow slowly disappeared back to the opposite end of the cell, I collapsed back onto the floor. Taking in some deep breaths, I crawled towards this corner of the cell, sat up, curled my knees onto my face, and buried my head between them. With my hands over my ears to shut out the cries from the other prisoners, I rocked back and forth, unable to comprehend what was happening.
And aware of this one, this actual chapter goes on quite a bit, to be honest with you. That's not part
of the story. Yeah, you can stop here.
Actually, it's nearly finished. Okay. We will give people the suspense. We'll leave it at that.
Yes, because it touches on just one more stupid thing that you did of stuffing that credit card. God knows where in the car, which just added to your repertoire of stupid things that you did. And
I had nowhere else to put it. I can actually see it. I can see myself thinking, what the hell am I going to do?
Well, yeah, never mind the fact that you even took the card to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
That was another brilliant idea that you had.
People will have to read the reason why I did that at the state I was in,
yeah,
mentally and physically.
I probably would have done the same thing. It still would have been just as brilliant, but yeah, I think a lot of people would have done the same thing. But a lot of people would have done that.
Yeah.
And then you describe how it felt going to a jail in a place that you don't speak the language, and how nicely you were treated. So it touches on a lot of different things.
I had 5-star treatment. It was wonderful. I recommend it. I put a review on TripAdvisor.
It's a trip everybody must take at least once in their life.
Exactly. Yeah. Inclusive. Hot water and oranges for a week.
Yeah, and you didn't get into, and it's good that you stopped there, because we didn't get into what happened by your diet, your 5-star meals, and the treatment that you had while you were in jail. So I guess you would have to pick up the book and read about that and find out what happened after they locked the door behind you.
Actually, and also they would actually have to read what happened before.
That got you into jail.
That brought me into jail. It's not just about the jail part and how I and the last part of the story, but it's how I actually became putting a credit card into an event which the Spanish police found, because that is what it's all about.
Right. And what happened to that credit card, which definitely suspense. If you want to find out what happened to the credit card and yeah. The next chapter or the chapter after that.
It's a chapter before. If you want to find out how I actually came to get the credit card. That is the chapter beforehand. That is what you got to read.
I'm sure it's not what you were planning to do with it when you took it, but it didn't turn out exactly.
I don't know. I can still see myself taking it now. I still really don't know what my plans were anyway, to be honest with you.
What was I going to do with it? I don't know. But let me just take it just in case I can think of something to do with it.
He's a good person, really.
Well, you know, in hindsight, everybody has a 2020.
Yeah.
So maybe if you would have not done A, B, or C, or D, or all those things that you did until you spotted that credit card, then E and F and G and H may not have happened afterwards either. So what if? There's nothing you can do about it. That's what happened. If you want to know what happened.
I've gone through the whole alphabet.
Plus some extra alphabets.
Exactly.
Many, many alphabets.
Many alphabets. Now, if you want to know the reason why I actually, you know, I had put my hands up, still the credit cards, but it was the circumstances. I had a split second decision to make.
And it was sheer desperation.
Desperation and.
And stupid.
Oh, wait a minute. You were also broke, weren't you?
But hence, making a credit card, yeah.
That might have something to do.
Can I just say, I was broke, I was homeless, I was in a burning building. I was a bit drunk.
Possibly.
You were broke?
I was broke. I had no clothes. I just had my passport on me. I had no return flight. I had nothing. I had absolutely
Wait a minute.
Nothing.
And also, you thought you were maybe Superman or Spider-Man?
No, James Bond. James Bond, Miss Wanny Penny. And that's how I felt, you know, regarding what I did. I don't like to keep on that.
No, I know.
But
so you mean delusional?
I'm looking at Julie Ogden now. You know that while she's laughing.
I don't think he was in a good frame of mind or a good state, or you know, he wasn't in a good place. He was clearly in a.
I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But when I came back from Spain, I got married 4 months later. That was the wrong place, wrong time. Oh.
Duh. Maybe like wrong place, wrong mind, wrong state of mind.
Your face is brilliant. God. And my ex-wife was American, so they're not all mad. They're not all delusions. But yeah, you've got to read it. You know, it'd be great if you could read it, and whoever reads it leaves a review. Whatever star, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't mind.
Whatever you wish. You can just rate it, And so we've had so much fun that I didn't even realize we have 50 seconds left for the time here. But we do have enough time to wrap it up. So overall, Julie, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so much fun.
My
I have not laughed this much in such a long time.
It has been fun. We always have laughs together when we're working together. So, yeah, this has been really good.
Especially
fun.
Editing the last book.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
My way. For the beach.
I can't wait to see your work.
Very quickly, there's 11 authors who write erotic, and each of them have a chapter, and it's hot.
Very hot.
Mm.
Yeah. It's hotter than the temperature outside right now.
Exactly. You will get a heat wave.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh my word, very hot. You will love it.
Okay.
Not 50 Shades.
I'm promising.
Completely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very promising.
Well, definitely we'll talk about it, and we'll definitely display. If you have any links that you want us to post right here at the introduction, we'll be happy to post it for you. Okay. If you have, definitely going to come back and talk about it once it's a little bit more advanced and people can actually get a hold of it. If there's any of the, my ways that we can buy now on Amazon, then maybe we can talk
all
about
of them,
that.
Please. They're all there.
They're all there. They're all on Amazon.
Oh, okay. So we're definitely going to come back. We're going to schedule an hour just about my ways.
Oh, why?
And,
that'd be great.
And do you know what? Frankly, we could read a chapter from My Way 6, Sex on the Beach.
I think maybe that might need some editing.
That will need editing.
But thank you for having us, Tippi. It's been really great fun.
Yeah, well, we have Julie, so editing is not a problem.
Exactly.
No, she's the best.
Yeah.
And so we have come to the end of our time here together on Tippi Talk, and it has been wonderful. And it has been so much fun chatting with both of you, Julie and David. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. You've been listening to Tippi Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and I invite you to invite your friends and to come along and to listen to more of what's coming, because lots more is coming your way. Join us here on Tippi Talk every Monday at 5 p.m. for more insights and information to help you grow and prosper in a more powerful life. If you have a story to tell, we would be happy to hear your story. Today you've been listening to Books I Love on Tippi Talk with David Perlmutter and Julie, his editor and partner, talking about his book, Wrong Place, Wrong Time, and many other books and many other things that come your way. See you next week. Same time, same place.
Fios is not cable. We're wired differently, which means you can get the fastest internet available with equal upload and download speeds from 50 to 500 megs. So you can upload 200 photos before your favorite song is finished. Click the ad and switch to Fios today to get our best offer ever. Fios is not cable. We're wired differently, which means you can get the fastest internet available with equal upload and download speeds from 50 to 500 megs. So you can upload 200 photos before your favorite song is finished. Click the ad and switch to Fios today to get our best offer ever.